Sunday, the 29th of June, by David Kahn, The Perils of Being an Orav.
Morning. There was a shoe case in Yerushalayim, as far as I'm aware, where Reuven, Mr. Reuven, needed a loan. So he went to, the case was actually, he went to a gemach, and he asked the gemach, could he have a loan? Let's say it was $1,000, doesn't matter how much it was $1,000. And he said to the gemach, he said to them, please could I borrow $1,000? They said, look, we always lend only if you bring along a guarantor. Bring an orav along, bring somebody who's prepared to guarantee this loan. So Shimon brought Shimon along. Shimon signed up as an orav for these $1,000. And one needs to know of being an orav, and that's why I chose the title, The Perils of Being an Orav. So one's got to look at, if you're ever a guarantor for money, you've got to know that it's as if that you're the one who's lending. If you can afford to lend the money, then sign up. If you can't afford to lend, you wouldn't want to lend this person, you can't be an orav either. Because we'll see in the story, and there have been many, many cases like it, where, in the end, if the person who borrowed can't pay, you're going to have to pay. So, this case happened that Reuven borrowed the money, Shimon was the orav. Good. Borrowed the money, the day came to pay back, the gemach approached Reuven and said to Reuven, could you pay up please? Time went by, week after week, in the end, over a month had gone by, and the gemach saw that Reuven wasn't paying. So the gemach phoned up Shimon, and they said to Shimon, listen, they said to him, Reuven hasn't paid, we've got you down here signed as an orav, either you go and speak to Reuven and maybe you can impress upon him to pay, or we'll have to come back and you'll have to pay up. Listen to this. Shimon phones up Reuven. Says, Reuven, this is, what's going on here? Why am I getting phone calls from the gemach? What sort of behavior is this? I do you a favor and I agree to sign up. I certainly don't expect the gemach to phone me up and get me, start telling me that I've got to sort out the payment. So what's going on here? Pay up straight away. Good. Shimon thought the job was done. Reuven said, okay, I'll pay it. Next day, Shimon gets another phone call from the gemach. And they say, listen, Shimon, you're going to have to pay up. Shimon says, what do you mean? I spoke to Reuven yesterday. He said he's going to pay. Didn't he come and pay? They said, yeah. Reuven did come and pay. But Reuven owed us money from a previous debt that we haven't been able to recover the money yet. So when he paid up the $1,000, we took it for the previous debt. Now we're coming back to you for the next one. Now we're coming back to you for the debt that you signed up. Shimon says, what's going on over here? Excuse me, this is just impossible. Are you asking me to go and get Reuven to pay, and now Reuven's paid up? What do you want from me? What's going on over here? Their story was, as it happened, was that the head of the gemach felt that maybe he'd taken this one too far, and he said, okay, all right, we'll have to worry about that previous debt. But what's going on? Why should the gemach be saying such a thing? There's a din in Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see Mitzvah Hashem together, the source of it from the Gemaras. The Siman Pei Gimel, Sif Beis, in Choshen Mishpat, says the following. Im ha-loive moide b'shtei halvoi. The loive agrees, admits to both of the debts. V'shteihem of azmanom, and the time of repayment has already passed for both of them. V'nosam loimon estam. If the one who borrowed, he paid back the money, said, here you are, he said to the malveh, here you are. Stam, he didn't say anything. V'loy pirish, he didn't explain for what he was paying. V'hamal v'oimer, the Malve says, "Shroy tzelach shod oisam bepiroin hachoyv she'ein lo koyach al haloy v'kolkach." One debt has got an orev, and the other one hasn't. One choyv has got mishubodim, and the other one hasn't. So the Malve decides that he's going to use this money for the debt which is more difficult to retrieve because it's got less of a guarantee on it. Uba acheres yesh lo koyach yoisa kegoyin. Yesh lo orev, v'haloi v'roit selach shaloisam bepiroin amalvish yesh lo borev. Of course, ki oime shaloisam is kavin. In such a case, ein shomim lo. We don't listen to the loiver. The malve has got the right to decide for which debt he's receiving this money. V'afilu oime b'seirush, even if the loiver says explicitly that Loi Ephraim Lacha Elo Michoi Ploini, I'm only paying you back for the second debt. The Hamal Ve'Oime Loya Kablom, I will not receive them Elo Michoi Acher, I will only receive them for a previous debt. I take repayments in the order in which they were borrowed, for example, and therefore I want to take it to the first one. Hadin Ima Malve, the din is with the Malve, and we'll see what the source for that is. Says the Ramor, a Chiddush. Afilu shosak, even if the malve kept quiet, kishikiblom, so the loiver says, I'm paying you back for the second choiv, and the malve says nothing, just says, thank you very much for the money. Yochel achar kach loimer, ma sheshotakti, the reason why I kept quiet was, kidei shetiten li amloy, I want you to hand over the money, and not to make a fuss. Loya kablim rak alachoyf acher, but my kavana was only to receive them for the other. So the malzer not only has he got the right to decide if nothing was said, even if the loiver kicks up a fuss and says, I want them specifically for whatever it is, the malzer can keep quiet, receive the money, and then turn around and say, no, I've received the money for something else. So here we can see a little bit of a source of what's going on over here. I'd like to share the Gemara with you, which is the source of this. There's a Gemara in Ksuba, Staf Pehe, Omad Aleph, Avini, Bereid Rabbi Abo. So Avini, remember this, he was the son of Rabbi Abo, because Rabbi Abo is coming later on in the story. So, Havumask Bey, Zuzi Bey Chazoy, a place called Chazoy, lent him money. Shadrinhu Biyaz Choma Bereid the Rabbo Baravur. So he sent it, the money, with his nephew. Yes, with the grandson of Rabbi Abo. He sent it with his nephew to Chazoy. Ozal, off Choma went, and Parinhu, he paid up the debt. Omalehu, he handed over the money. He said to the Bnei Chazoy, he said to them the following, Havulishtora, please now give me back the debt, give me back the document that I owe you, because I've paid you already. Omrulei, so they turned round to Chomo and they said, Sitroininhu, what's Sitroininhu? Rashi says, Mitzad Acher, Hoyinu Noshim Boy Milva Alper. This debt that you think you've paid for is a debt with documentation, to Milva Bishtar. But really, Avini owes us for a debt that was Milva Alper. We don't have any proof, any raya for this debt. And we've decided that money we've taken for the previous debt. And now we don't want to hand over the Shtar, because that Milva Bishtar that you think you've paid for, that remains, we want that to keep that one. Because that we've got a shtar to prove. So that's what they said. Umachmas oisa milva nachzik bohem. That's what we're going to pay for. So over here, Oman. So good. Also the kamed Rabbi Abo. It says obviously Rabbi Abo couldn't be the dain in this case. It was his son. But also Avimi came to his father to ask him for advice. What does he do? Omar lay. So Rabbi Abo said to him, Isloch stazi. Do you have witnesses? The Partinhu, do you have witnesses that saw Choma actually paying over, paying the money? No, Choma paid without witnesses, and this is something which is, we can all learn something from this case. If somebody gives us money as a shliach, and it often happens that somebody will say, could you take money to us, could you take money to here for me please, and please give it over to so and so. Listen to, you'll see that we'll have to be careful, very careful. Omar Leiloi. So Avimi said no, Choma didn't pay in front of Adin. Omar Lei, so Rabbi Yabol says, Migu diyacholim loy maloy hoy dvar mi oylam. Since the Bnei Chuzoi could have said, you never paid me anything, they could deny having received payment altogether. Therefore, yacholim nami lemeva, they are believed to say, sitroin inhu, that there was a previous debt, even though they don't have proof that this debt exists. Says the Gemara, now le'inyan shlume, shliach mai, what about the shliach? Maybe the shliach is chayav because he is now handed over the money irresponsibly. The money is for all purposes, as far as Avumi is concerned, is lost. He's now got to pay again to get rid of the debt that he thought he was paying. Omarabi Omarav Ashi Chavino. E Omali, we have a look. E Omale, if Avumi would have said to Choma, Shkoil, Shtora, first take the shtar back, and then the Havzuzi, then give the money, Meshalim, then the Shliach is hired to pay. But then if he said, Havzuzi, first give over the money, Ushko Shtara, but then make sure that you get the Shtar back, Loi Meshalim, he doesn't have to pay. And the Gemara says, Velohi afterwards, Bein Kach, Meshalim, the Shliach is hired, to Omale, because the Meshaleach can say to the Shliach, Litikuni Shadrisich, Veloi Livusi. I sent you to benefit me and not to cause me a loss. So here, I must tell you, before I learned this sugya, when someone used to ask me to take money to store it for them, I used to tell them, look, I'm prepared to take it, but I'll doubt, but on condition that I have no acharias, and not even a shoyim echinom. A shoyim echinom, normally if you take money, you don't say anything, you don't receive any payment for it, so you're a shomechinon. A shomechinon has got serious responsibilities. If you're staying at home, if you're where you are, it says that ein mamon and shmira elo bekalka. If you're taking it with you, you can't say such a thing because you can't take the kalka with you. But certainly, the mekarta is in the best possible way, a money belt, for example, which is such that nobody could get hold of it at all because it's under your clothes. That would be a situation, that would be one chiyuv. And if you had it in your pocket, even if it was very safe and you looked after it, but somehow someone managed to pickpocket you, you'd be chayev. So I've always told people, I'll take it if you'd like me to, with a great pleasure, you don't have to send it with me, but if you want to, I take no responsibility for it whatsoever, and of course I'll do my best, but I have no halachic responsibility. But it's not enough. It's not enough. Because even when I finished, if I go and pay, hand over the envelope to whoever they ask me to, if he should later deny that, either deny the receipt, that no, you're not choshev, he's going to deny it. But if he's got two choshevs, one like this and one like that, and he turns round and says, "Sitroininu," and not, it's true, he says, "David Cohen brought me this envelope, but I took it for a previous debt." The Gemara says, "I'd be chayev because I should have paid him with Adim." Or at least, if not that, let him sign up that he has received $1,000 from me, in which case he can no longer deny receiving it, and even if he doesn't deny it, he hasn't got the migu that he could have said that he didn't receive it, and therefore he'd only be believed if he's got a shtar. If he's got a shtar, so he'll be able to claim the money anyway, got nothing to do with me. It's very important, if you do that, always get him just a little sign up, sign that you've received it. That's what we see.
It's got El Al, got something or
not? El Al got nothing to do with it. El got nothing to do with it. Of course, there's a very security rules or whatever it is, those you've got to abide by, but that's nothing to do with it. Now, what about back to the Gemara?
More recently, before we came to the Gemara,
yeah.
Automatically you can go for the other debt.
He can go for it.
So
that's
why should he be the shliach responsible? Even if he gave it with
the debt. No, but the shliach got it. If the shliach can't prove that the money was given, then he'd be believed as Fitzroy. No, the Gemara says he can say Fitzroy, and the shliach will be chayv to pay the difference. That's the din. Din of the Gemara. Have a look at the Gemara. That's Pehe on the Zalif, and you'll see that. I haven't said anything. Now we're coming to the Gemara. Now we're coming to the Chiddush. Now the Gemara. Sorry?
They gave
No, it doesn't matter. He can't, but then you've got to prove that it exists. This Detroit was a Milva Alper. The Malver didn't have a proof. He had a proof of the debt which was supposed to be paid up, but he didn't have a proof of previous debt. If he's got two shtarim, the Malver, then anyway it doesn't matter, because it's true, the Malver can still decide which debt to be paid for, but the chiddush of this case was that the other debt was an invisible one. It was a milval pair, there was no proof. Normally the Beis Din would have passed on the Moitz Mechavir of Ayah, but now he's taken the money for this. Since he's got a legal, he could have said Lo Yisvoyel on the Malver, so now he can keep it. Whose fault was that? The Gemara says the Shliach's fault. The Shliach's fault. In any case, the Shliach wouldn't be chayiv. But if it was a milva b'shtar, in Ochanami, you're right, the Shliach wouldn't be chayiv. So the fact that you've got written down that he received the money from you means that he'll only be able to claim the money from the loiver. In other words, to say I'm using it for another chayiv, he'll still be able to say that. But that's not my fault. That's not my fault. Oh, back to the Gemara.
But really, the first story was just said.
Yes.
That he asked, he called him up to the order.
Yeah.
Then the order is goyim that he paid back. So you can't say that this is for free.
Oh, that's what we're coming to here. So therefore, good, very good. So the here, in the case of the gemach, so the chayav, the gemach can decide for which debt they want to receive the payments. But over here, as what's your name? Oh, as Rabbi Chesel says over here, quite right. The trouble is that Shimon is absolutely fuming, because Shimon says, look, you phoned me up and you asked me to go and sort out. I don't have to run around town for you, Gemach, and go and get the money back. Why did I do it? I did it in order to get myself out of this chayzus that I made. And I did what you asked, and once I've done it, what do you want from me? Why are you coming back to me? Sorry?
Without Shimon, they wouldn't get the money as well.
So Shimon turns around. So the Gemach turned around at this time, and the Gemach said, listen, quite right, you didn't have to. Very nice of you. We'll give you a little present for going and helping the Gemach out. But the Maaser, Reuven paid, we could decide, I'll pay the Gemara in Ksuvah Daf Pei Hei, we could decide, and since we could decide what the payment was for, therefore, what's the problem? We've decided, and I'm terribly sorry, but you have to pay up. Now there's a shach in over here in Simon Pei Gimel, and the shach says the following. The shach says, although if the malva keeps quiet, and when the loiver says I'm paying for chayv aleph, and really he he can keep quiet and he can take it for chayv base or vice versa, says the shach though that if the malva says explicitly that he's maskim to receive the money for a particular chayv, then he can't be chayv. So if the malva keeps quiet, he can choose which one he wants. But if the malva agrees, the loiver says, I'd like to pay up for chayv aleph, and the malva says, okay, he can no longer say, I changed my mind, and I received it to chayv. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin, and the Gemara in Kiddushin says the following. Gemara says, "Hahi issa." So this lady, the Hava Komazvana Varshecha, she was selling. Translation in Rashi is silk ribbons. She used to sell silk ribbons. Osahu Gavra. Along came this man. Chotas Varshecha Mino. He snatched one silk ribbon from her. Omro Lei. So she said to him, "Hava Nehili." Please give it back. Omar Lossi said to her, "I yahavino leich, if I give it to you, mukudeshesli, you should be married to me with this ribbon." Shakla say, she received it. V'ishtaka, she kept quiet. She said nothing. So Omar Rav Nachman says, the question is she married or isn't she married to him? She didn't protest, she didn't make a fuss, he made the condition, and she received the ribbon back. Omar Nachmi, Choylo Lameima, she can say, in. Yes, Shikli, I took the ribbon, but Vididi Shikli, I took it because it was mine, not because I was receiving Kiddushin. Eisei Rava L'Rav Nachman. So when Rava heard that Rav Nachman had passed this way, Rava asked the kash against Rav Nachman. Kitshah Begezel is a brisa which says that Kitshah Begezel, if he married her, yes, if Kitshah, he gave a Kiddushin with something that he'd stolen, Ubechomas with the Gneva, or that he'd persuaded the person to sell. Or it was stolen in midnight, yeah, in the Bechashoi, Oishachotav Sela, or he snatched a Sela, a coin, Miyodo, the Kitshah, and he gave it to her as Kiddushin, Mekudeshes. She is Mekudeshes. So how can Rav Nachman disagree with the brisa? Tisefta says that she is Mekudeshes. So the Gemara answers, B'de Shodich. What is B'de Shodich? Says Rashi, Shediber bo koidin lochein. He had already discussed marriage with her previously, V'nitzvatzis. And she agreed, Liz Kaddish Loi, to get married to him, to Hossam, and therefore the price is different. He Shoska, when she kept quiet after he snatched the ribbon, and then gave it back, Mishum Zenicha Lo Hu. She's already shown that she's interested in getting married to him. So here we see, and the Gemara depends, keeping quiet doesn't always work. It works if there's been no previous discussions. But if the matter has been discussed previously, then, in such a case, then the Gemara says that if so, the Shasika is taken on the terms that were previously discussed, and as if she's going along with it. So here maybe, L'chayra in the first place, the Gemach is right. The Gemach could turn around and the Gemach could say, look, the fact that you, Shimon, we sent you on the merry-go-round to go and get Reuven to pay, no, maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. It's a bit naughty of us, a bit of greater stuff, but Lamaisa, you may have got Reuven to pay, but Reuven, over here, once he's paid up, we can decide what the chayv should go, and therefore, and now, you remain an orid, because we took it for the first place, explicitly, and that's how Peter Gomorrah thinks of us. But, now, maybe that Shimon can turn around, and Shimon can say, wait a minute. You said to me, please, and it may depend, by the way, what the Bala Gemach said on the phone. If the Bala Gemach said on the phone the following, you owe us the money. If he would have said, you owe us the money, Shimon, you've signed as an Oreis, you have to pay, we're phoning you up to claim the money. NB, or PS at the bottom, if you manage to get Reuven to pay up his debt, of course, then you won't have to pay. In such a case, all they've asked Shimon to do is to pay. If now Shimon phones up Reuven, and Reuven turns up and doesn't say anything, makes no conditions, and no conditions are accepted by the Gemach, then the fact that Reuven paid has nothing to do with Shimon's bishayvus. The Gemach would have been absolutely fine within its remit to receive the money from Reuven for a previous chayv and then to go to Shimon. But in this case here, if they would have said to him on the phone, first of all, we're phoning you up to get Reuven to pay. No, P.S., if you don't succeed, then you're going to have to pay you an orev. So maybe what they said is for the shodich. They said that we are prepared to absolve you of your responsibility if you get Reuven to pay. If you don't, you remain an orev. In such a case, it could be that the Malva, the Gemach here, is saying explicitly, we are happy to receive the money from Reuven for the second Chayv, and not from the first Chayv. And that the Shachar said that although the Malva keeps quiet, he can decide. If the Malva said explicitly that he's prepared to receive the money for a second Chayv, there's no din of Tochadei Dibur. The Gemara in Kiddushin wasn't Tochadei Dibur. As long as they haven't changed his mind, nobody said anything to the contrary, it's accepted on those terms, and in such a case, Shimon would actually be able to taina that what Reuven paid was upon a prior acceptance of yours, the Gemach, to receive that money for the second Chay. So over here, this case was Lemaisa, this case never came to a machlokes about it because the Gemach backed off and decided that it wasn't very nice. Whatever it is, it wasn't very nice to them. But There was a machlokes between the Talmid Chacham in Yerushalayim, who left unresolved as far as I heard, that about exactly what was going to be the din. But we discussed this, we're learning this at the moment in the Kol, and I thought maybe this would be the difference. And Rabbi Shua Berkovitz brought this Gemara in Kiddushin as possibly a raya that you can say that once it's already been discussed, if they would have said to Shimon, "We are asking you to get Reuven to pay," that is tantamount to an acceptance. That if Reuven pays within a reasonably short amount of time, then it's understood that Reuven is coming to pay because of Shimon, and that otherwise, then no such thing can be said. And here, this is over here. We've got over here. We've got a couple of minutes. I'll give you another little scenario to be able to. This is the possibility. It depends. Maybe it depends how the Gemach put it. You see how careful in Chosh Mishpot, how careful you have to be, and how you have to know what you're doing in order not to get yourself into trouble. I'll tell you a short story, and this is the following: a merchant bought some chayra from. An Israeli merchant bought schora from a Jordanian merchant, and the schora cost $10,000. The Jordanian merchant went to the bank and received a sealed package of $10,000, signed by Jordanian bank, and it wasn't clear which bank it was, but it was signed and sealed, and we'll see in a minute why I say it. And what happened was, this merchant received the $10,000 from schora. And he went and he paid with this sealed package. He paid somebody else who he owed in this package. The second person opened the package and found $11,000. The question was between the two. Even the question was, who did the extra $1,000 belong to? You say, what do you mean, give it back to the goy? So over here, it wasn't clear at all where it came from, quite apart from the question of Tolos Akum, which is another question altogether. But to get out of it at all, it wasn't possible to return it. It wasn't sure where the source of this money, how to get back to it. The question was, who was claiming the extra $1,000? I'll take questions in a minute, because I don't want to keep everybody, if you don't mind. And it's like this. The Mekhoir, for this Gemara, in fact, I'll tell you, Rosh Shlomo Zalman told us this story in Shia, when we were learning a Gemara in Bava Metzia. And the Gemara Bava Metzia, a very famous Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, Motza begalu bekoisel yoshon. If you find a treasure in either a heap or an old wall, hari elu shaloi, you can keep it. Even though you bought this house from a Yisrael, but you can keep it. The Gemara says, why is that? Mipnei sheyochal lo imaloi shel emoroim heim. Maybe it belongs to the emori who had heard so beforehand. Says the Gemara, Oto emori masni Yisrael lo masni. It's rusty, it's old, you can see that it's been there a long time. So here there's a machlokas, we're showing him, what is the reason of the Gemara, that it's been there a long time? Why is that the reason why the first Yisrael, yes, I bought it from another Yisrael, why wasn't he koine midin, chotza shechaseinu shen odon, koine loi shaloni daito? So there's a machlokas, there are three opinions in the Rishonim. Tosa says, the reason is, the ein chotza, koine bedova sheyochal liois shaloyim tse'enu le'oilom. Tosa. The Mordechai says, kivan shlo yoda v'loi niskavein liknois haketa, you didn't know about it. Chaseu shloz and koine shloimi daito is only for something that is reasonable for you to expect that it's going to be there. And the Rambam says, completely different reason, because it's got to be avudu mimenu mikol odom, and such a thing you're not going to be zeicha. In this case here with the money, according to the Rambam, it's not avudu mimenu mikol odom, because the parcel, the extra $1,000, is going to be found. According to Tosfos, the din is also shleim se'enu lo'ilom. Sometimes you're going to open it up and it's going to be found. But according to the Mordechai, if it says it's 10,000, it's sealed with an official seal, nobody cholems to find an extra $1,000 there, then the Yisrael, the first Yisrael who received it from the Jordanian merchant, he is not, has no das. Since he had no das, he's only a zoicha in 10,000 of the $11,000. The one who actually opens it and finds it, he will be zoicha on the extra $1,000. And the Ramah, if you have a look, in Siman Reish Samuches, Sif Reish Samuches, those who want to look it up, Reish Samuches, Sif Gimel, there the Ramah says the following: the Ein Chaseira Koinanoi, Elo Bioidea Bemetsia, Oide Afrika Daite, Ababadovo Sheinu Rogi Lavoi, Ein Chaseira Koinanoi. And the Sama says, where does this din come from? The Mehai Taima, the Matmoin Yoshon, an old treasure, Hanimsa Bakoso, back to our Mishnah, which is in Bob Matsia, Dab Chofhei, the Ikela Misla shall Emeroi Hoyo, so then who shall Moisoi, the Leaminon, the base of Chaseo shall Odom, Hanimsa is by Hamatmoin, Koinanoi. So here, quite explicitly, the Ramah and the Sama are paskening not like the Rambam, not like Tosfos, but like this Mordechai. This Mordechai and the Gaon Hashri both say the same, that it's not tolerant, if you guys don't know anything about it, it's not tolerant on whether it's ever going to be found again, Nahalocha, like the Rambam, it's not tolerant in whether it is, sorry, according to the Rambam, is Avudim Menu Mikolodom, no one's going to find it, it's not dependent on whether I'm ever going to find it, and it's also not totally on whether it's, that it's only dependent upon whether it's the type of thing I could have been male al adas that it could possibly be there. And Rosh Hashanah told us in Shir that that's how they paskin, that it belongs to the second Yisrael. In fact, I had a case that happened to me. We bought a house here in Golden Green some years ago, and I was living in Eretz Yisrael, and my sister was looking, just got married, she was looking for somewhere to live. And this was, she heard that I was just about to buy this house, and divided up into two flats, and I didn't even receive the keys. The keys went straight from the agent, straight for, as soon as it was sealed, my father went and picked up the keys and gave them to my sister. My sister moved in, moved around the furniture a bit, lifted up a mattress, and found a wad of money under the mattress.
Of course, mine, I think.
Being as honest as it was,
my money.
With your money,
yes.
There we are. This fellow was a tenant. It was bought from a non-Jewish owner who had a tenant from Nigeria who had left a few months earlier, and there's absolutely no way of tracking who they were. So here the question is, who did the money belong to? Again, according to the Rambam, it belongs to me, because if it wasn't Avudah Menu, if it had been thrown into the mattress, maybe it would have been Avudah Menu, because no one would have found it. If it was, according to Tosfos, so in such a case there, so you would have found it. And according to the Mordechai, although I hadn't found it, and it wasn't my das to be gezoicha in that money over there, but since the type of thing that people leave things behind, and that's where people leave things, therefore, I remember asking Shlomo Zalman about it, who does the money belong to? He says that chaseu shel odom, koinanoi, shelo midaito, according to everyone in this case.
Just as the remote is not an
audience. Sorry? What's happened at the remote?